Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me and special guests as we travel the biblical road together, learn more about God's Word, and enhance our relationship with Jesus Christ.
And welcome everyone to episode 18 of the Last Days series. Today's podcast title is The Last Days in the Book of Revelation. We've tried to carry you through the events that will possibly take place as the Bible unfolds the story of the last days here on earth and what will take place before we are eternally with Jesus Christ. This will be part one of a two-part series, given the amount of content we need to cover and what John saw in the book of Revelation as the last days unfold. To recap the podcast series, The Last Days, we'll be taking a tour through the book of Revelation. This book reveals the splendor and glory of Jesus Christ. This book also offers a blessing to those who read or follow the teachings in the book. In chapter 1, verse 3, that's quoted, it also offers a blessing with the closing in chapter 2, verse 7. So this book is dedicated to Jesus Christ. It's about what will take place in the last days of this world. And of course, it is a blessing for those who have read it and studied it. So consider yourself blessed if you have taken time to listen to the podcast and glean from that and to study the book of Revelation. Now, Revelation is the key to events that God has laid out for the last portion of his messianic timetable. The book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of the last days, and about Jesus Christ himself becoming the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To give some background information, John is exiled to the island of Patmos for his ministry in Jesus Christ. God used this planned portion of John's life to lay out God's plan of events that pertains to mankind and in reference to the last messianic days of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Let us now begin with a sequence of events of the last days according to the book of Revelation. The writing of the churches are important because of what takes place between chapters 3 and 4. If you have not listened to our last podcast, The Last Days and the Church, you need to go back and do that because we cover this in detail about the churches and what is taking place with those churches in Revelation. The rapture has now taken place, and the events starting in chapters 4 will be void to those saved. And again, we talk about this in the introductory podcast and The Last Days According to Jesus. We covered these events, but if you haven't listened to the podcast 1 and 2 of this series, it is important that you listen to this series in its entirety because it does fit together and that will give you better understanding to this podcast. So pause this one, go back and listen to those if you have not. If you have followed along with us through the Antichrist, the False Prophet, and the churches, and the Last Days According to Jesus, and all the other podcasts in this series, then buckle up, get ready, because we're about to get into these last days. But I do want you to understand, in my opinion, and I'm giving you my opinion here, and we know what those are worth sometimes, the saved, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, will not be applicable for what is coming ahead. The theme in heaven is worship. Chapter 4 begins by seeing the third phase of was, is, and to come. John now sees a vision of the throne of God. It's important to state that the rainbow is a symbol of God's faithfulness to believers and to mankind. This is a reference back to Genesis 6 and Noah and post-flood, of course. Around the throne are 24 thrones. The 24 thrones are, in my opinion, the members of the churches. This is symbolic of the raptured church living with Christ in glory. The crowns are symbolism of rewards given to those churches. In my opinion, this is not Israel due to them singing a, quote, new song. It's a reference given there. And this is the redeemed believer singing for those who are saved. Keep that in mind. All of heaven is worshiping God at this moment. Again, heaven is a place where all beings worship God. In chapter 5, however, the worship is broken. At that moment, there appears the seven seals. To give background into the vision that John sees, let me describe that Roman law. In that law, wheels were to be sealed seven times. The scrolls would be rolled, sealed a little bit, rolled a little more, sealed, rolled more, sealed, etc., until this was done seven times. This was to prevent the document from being unsealed without permission. So you couldn't break those seals without being caught, basically. And of course, it was against the law to break any kind of sealed document if you were not the one to break the seals in the Roman society. The seals we see here are the will of God. Now the angel proclaims who is worthy to open the seals, the will of God. No man could do this. A man was not equally or evenly qualified to look on the will of God. The redeemed know that only Jesus Christ can open this will. The symbolism of the lamb with seven horns is seen. Seven meaning that this lamb has full of power. Seven eyes are perfect wisdom. So the symbolism here of this lamb in the number seven, of course, seven being the number of completion. It's God's number of completion. And those seven eyes are perfect wisdom. And the seven horns are perfect power. The Lamb is full of power and wisdom, and this is Jesus Christ. Jesus takes the scroll and says, "Now I will take back the earth." This was God's creation, and of course mankind, through the deception of Satan, the earth has fallen, and this is God giving the deed of the earth that he created to his son, Jesus Christ. And it gives me chill bumps even thinking about that God's plan, God's will for us is laid out in this scroll. And that Jesus Christ, our Savior, God's Son, who gave himself for remediation of sin and who was resurrected to the salvation and the glory that we wait, he's now given this will. He's now given this ownership of this earth. So worship now continues in heaven, and why would it not? Here is flesh and blood. It makes me want to worship and thank God and praise God for salvation and for what he's doing here. And of course, we know heaven will erupt better than any college or NFL stadium or baseball field could at that time. Those in heaven have lived through the sorrows of the fall of man on earth. Worship would take place because now the King and events he brings will come to pass. Jesus, our Savior, is going to take back the earth. Each of the seven seals that break open now reveals what is going to take place on earth. The first seal, broken open, brings peace to the earth. This is chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. John sees the vision of a rider on a white horse. He has a bow, but no arrows. He has a crown, and he conquered. He conquered without war, hence the bow with no arrows. This is a false peace. It is energized by the acts of the last Antichrist. If you have not heard that podcast again on the subject of the last Antichrist, follow the link right here in this page or on our page and we'll take you to it. Daniel 9:27 says, where we are told he, quote, sets up a false peace. This is a false Christ. It's a counterfeit Christ. The peace is false and therefore doesn't last long, and the second seal is opened in chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. The second horse is seen and is red. It's worth mentioning that these are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You've heard that term thrown around, I'm sure, for a long time. The red horse rider brings war. As we are told, they will kill one another. The false peace of the last Antichrist is over, and now the war has ensued. The third seal is now opened. The rider of this horse has a set of scales. This is chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, or balances in his hand. Verse 6 explains that a measure of wheat for a denarius. This symbolism shows starvation and food shortages. People will work all day for wages that are less than what is needed to feed themselves for a day. It's a famine-type condition, except for the wealthy. And the reason I say that is because the verse says, hurt not the wine and the oil. The poor will starve. The oil and wine is a reference to a rich man's food. So the wealthy will be wealthier, and of course the poor will work all day for not enough money to even feed themselves, let alone their family, whatever it may be. It's going to be starvation type scenario. The fourth seal is death. This is in verse 6, 7, and 8. The rider on the pale horse is following the war and famine. These events are not only natural events that take place presently, but will be multiplied in the last days. The death that is here is followed by hell, because hell and death are connected. They're collecting all the dead. Remember, believers are already drawn out. Death was given to kill a quarter of those left here on the earth. So death is going to come through, and because of the famine and because of the war, we know that death follows this. death is going to take place on mankind. A quarter of mankind is going to die. And we see that hell is scooping through and swallowing up those who are non-believers in God, in Jesus Christ. And this is a sad event. These four horsemen of the apocalypse, even though you have someone who comes in, the last and final Antichrist, who comes in and promises all this peace. There's like a false counterfeit. I may use that word a lot. Hope of peace being on earth. And then you see that there is going to be the false prophet come through who's going to brace up this Antichrist. War is then going to take place. And that war, of course, when war takes place, death always happens, followed by famine, which again, in historical context, will take place in some areas. If you've ever known of any area that's went through major war, you know that death and destruction and famine all do take place. This is going to be amplified here during the last days. It's not going to be what we would typically see here on earth. So this is anything we've ever seen in history, worst case scenario, multiplied and quantified and made even worse, which is where the rider on the pale horse, which is death, comes through, and those who die are going to be scooped up into hell without having faith in God. After this, the fifth seal, this is chapters 6, verses 9 through 11, is now open. The redeemed people of earth who are slaughtered by the last Antichrist are gathered together. They cry out for God to avenge the persecution they have felt and the death they have suffered for their belief in Christ. White robes are given to this group, and they are told to rest until they are joined by those who will again or continually be killed for their beliefs in Jesus as the Savior. This is a very important point when we look at the timetable of events in Revelation. This follows the statement, it's not over until it's over. I think that's worth stating. The events take place are not over yet. There's still going to be more woes to come. The finality of what's going to take place in those last days has not taken place just yet. The sixth seal then appears in chapter 6, verses 12 through 17, and it's opened. And the world is about to get changed. Now, if you're worried about climate change, if it can hold no comparison to the sixth seal's change. Earthquakes take place, the sun goes black, the moon becomes like blood, the stars fall from heaven. John relates the change in space to be scrolled when scrolled together. Imagine you take a measuring tape that's pulled out of itself and when you're going to measure a board, and then you let it go and it just starts rolling together. The universe and everything that's inside of it, the stars and the heavens, it's going to quickly roll. It's going to quickly roll together, and that's of course going to bring about obvious change. So if you're sitting there, you know, biting your fingernails every day over climate change and not wanting to put gas in your car, there's going to be a catastrophic change take place, but it's going to be after the sixth seal, and it is going to be catastrophic, make no doubt about it. But rest assured, I'm satisfied that if you have faith in Jesus Christ, that we will not be here on this earth during these events. Now, every mountain and island will move out of its place. Now, I want you to think about what would take place on earth if every mountain and island was moved. If we just had this catastrophic shift of where Antarctica would be moved to where Africa or Australia might be, and Hawaii is moved to an Antarctic region, it would be catastrophic to those living there, and of course it would be very troubling. Now, it's hard to imagine what's taking place during these events. Not only have stars fallen, what today we could call major meteor showers, but the sun also goes black. Now, let me pause for a moment here and ask you, what would this do to time as we know it? The Gregorian calendar, of course, would obviously be thrown off. The 24-hour time period that we have in a day would be thrown off. Events would be drastically changed if solar eclipses were occurring constantly. Notice also that rulers and all people hide themselves because now they know where this power is coming from. Verse 16 states, quote, "And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." They know, they're in denial. And that's why I've always thought that there's no atheist in foxholes, to use that phrase. That deep down inside, most of the time, I do believe that atheists rebel against God because they know the truth and they just don't want to give up whatever it is in their life. Evil people, knowing where this is coming from, do not want to repent. They only want death to take them out. It makes you wonder why they do not repent. To me, it does, but as in the days of Noah, people love sin more than repentance. The life they have is still greater than surrendering to Christ. At the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. Now, we're going to wrap up chapter 6 here, and I want to encourage you to join me next week where we are going to begin chapter 7 in Revelation, and we're going to continue this recap. Please be sure to go to bearhiscross.com where you can get all the notes, you can get all the references. There's links there for the verses that we have used, and you can also go back and listen to previous podcasts. So, hope you've enjoyed part 1. Be sure to join us for part 2 in the last days in the book of Revelation. May God richly bless you in the love of His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this episode of Bear His Cross Podcast. You can always go to bearhiscross.com where you can subscribe to our email newsletter or find Bear His Cross on your favorite podcast provider. And once you do, please be sure to leave a review so others know what you think about this podcast.